You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Our numero dos. Underway of the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003 is the way to call. If you want to tweet at us, it's at ESPN Radio NOLA. Feel free to do so. Don't forget the TuneIn Radio app is the way to follow us in your car, out of your car, if you're having trouble with the reception, or if you're not in your car, on the plane, or on the golf course, however you want to do it, and catch any of the programming, including Colonels action, NBA, basketball, the postseason right here on ESPN New Orleans, Major League Baseball games, anything that's on the station, the TuneIn Radio app's absolutely free that you can have as well. Our thanks to Chris Blair, who joined us last hour to talk a little bit about LSU. Hard to believe they have yet to win a road series in the SEC. They'll be trying to do that and try to improve their chances to solidify postseason play, much less any shot at trying to host and things of that nature. So they got some business to do in a conference tournament next week. Also, we're going to talk this hour with Manny Pepys of the UNO Privateers about their series coming up at Northwestern State. They beat Southern Miss back on Tuesday. Bryant Johnson, 145, to touch on the Colonels as well. So we'll be doing all of that, and we'll be leading off here in a little bit with head coach Matt Reiser of the Southeastern Lions, as we'll talk about his program and where they are and how big these next two games are as well. We touched on the NBA playoffs. Eastern Conference Finals, you got to wait all the way to, you know, Saturday. We had some fun. Maybe we'll recap this next segment about how some of the interesting tidbits that people have in covering these games, right? Because, look, the Warriors were unbeatable. They were unstoppable. And then, boom, there you go. Now something's wrong with Steph. There's not enough heart. I didn't play this one in the first hour, but yeah, see, you know, one team showed more heart than the other. Marcus Thompson of the Athletic had this to say.
With some heart, right? The Rockets came out. It was like, we're not going out like the Raptors, right? We're getting the game at home. We're going to show you something. And I think the Warriors just like kind of felt it and didn't really match it. And they know they didn't have to match it because they already won game one. So I think a lot of it was the Rockets tonight. Look, P.J. Tucker and Trevor Ariza, like, outscored Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Like, that's ball game.
Mm-hmm. Who had more heart? It's just funny, right? Who has more heart? Who has less heart? Effort. I played it in hour number one about Stu Gotts this morning. He was having fun going back and forth, talking about the effort that LeBron's had in the past, and no one ever questioned this with Michael Jordan. Remember back on Tuesday, me and Brian and Ola East were going back and forth. Who you got? Who's the GOAT? Greatest of all time? Jordan, you got a little history today, apparently, with number 23 as well?
Yeah, on this date, May 17th, 1993, Michael Jordan hit a game-winning series shot to clinch the series against the Cavaliers to eliminate them.
This wasn't the Elo shot, but it was just another time in which he
dismantled the Cavs.
Yeah, he hurt the Cavs. 1-2 Cavaliers. Oh, Michael, I can't wait for the documentary. And you're upset about this because I told you the problem with the teaser and the trailer.
Yeah, it's a whole year away. Go.
Yeah, it's in May.
You told me about
it. And it comes in 2019.
You made it sound like it was like a month away.
It's not my fault. That's what they teased and trailed. So we have to wait for a little bit. All right, let's get into our college baseball chatter. We bring in head coach Matt Reiser of the Southeastern Lions for giving us a little bit of time here on a game day. Coach, thank you, man. How you doing?
Doing fantastic, man. I appreciate you having me on.
For sure. At SLU Athletics, the way to follow, obviously, overall, Southeastern, but Southeastern baseball is real simple. At Lions underscore baseball. We're going to get into the two games of importance here today and tomorrow against Houston, 20th ranked Houston, and why it's important. But, Coach, man, I'm looking at the season you guys had, And Southland Conference play came to an end this past weekend, winning the series and winning 10 of the last 12.
Yeah, man, you know, we did our notorious run. We did a good job of getting some things, the ship right in the right direction. You know, we had a tough 10 games there in the middle of the season. And, you know, I never want to hit those moments, but every club does. You hope they don't last long to get for us. But, you know, at the end of the day, we told those guys that's why we're recruiting our program, man, to handle those moments of adversity. They did a fantastic job of it. Like you said, we made a run there at the back end. We put ourselves in position. You know, the way our conference works, we're actually out of conference play this weekend, but everybody else is still in conference play. We've got one team with a bye. Our bye just happened to be the last weekend. So if Sam Houston gets swept, you know, crazy things have happened in the college game of baseball, but if they end up getting swept, we end up being conference champions, and at least we give ourselves a chance here at the end. We can finish no worse than second the conference for another year with 20-plus wins in conference play. I think it was our fourth straight year. So just right. Proud of the guys being able to make that run and play our best baseball here at the end.
You know, it's crazy, Coach. 35-19, and you've had some nice wins during the season here as well. And I don't know. I guess it's a conversation you always are going to have here towards the end. But do you feel it's getting harder and harder? You know, we talked with Chris Blair and what LSU has to do, and 11 teams right now by D1 Baseball projected to go into the postseason play out of 14 in the SEC. Does it feel harder and harder if you're not one of those Power 5 schools? You have to win the conference tournament. You have to almost play ridiculous-type baseball to even be recognized. And the reason I say that is, Coach, am I wrong in thinking there's some pretty good baseball teams in the Southland, like more than maybe one team should be playing postseason ball?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, we've been able to figure out this great RPI formula the past year. You know, also we got the two at-large bids in 16 and 17 because we were able to do with our RPI. And unfortunately, you know, played the similar tough schedule we had the last 2 years, but we did them at home this year. And that plays a big part in this. And so, unfortunately for us, our RPI is not, you know, at large worthy. Like you said, there's a lot of quality wins on our schedule. If you look at our top 100 wins, we're over 500. I think we're, you know, 10-7. And got a couple of top 25 wins as well in there. I think we're 2 or 3 against top 25. But just one of those seasons, man, as you continue to get deeper in this and try to understand the formula of RPI, which I don't think I'll ever truly do until the day I die. But you realize, hey, man, you can't play at home. That's a bad formula to have. But playing the Houston, who's ranked, right, top 25, we played UConn, who's top 25. That's two non-conference weekends. You can't tell me we're not trying to schedule, also with our notorious midweek schedule with South Alabama's and ULL's and Tulane and LSU. That we're not scheduling, you know, the right teams to play. We just happened to play in the wrong place. You know, last year we were on the road, you know, for 28 games. This year we went on the road for 23 games. And those 5-game swing made a big difference for us in the RPI. So, man, I agree with you. I think there's high-quality baseball in our conference. Us and them, Houston State, every year is in this at-large discussion for whatever reason. The RPI of the conference overall is a little bit further down where it normally is. But what normally is a two-bid league is definitely going to be a one-bid league this year.
Doesn't that stink, though, Coach? Because, I mean, it's kind of a situation where to grow your program, you want fans to go to your ballpark. If you want to have better facilities, you need higher attendance. You need to be able to prove the administration, hey, throw in some money, and you can do that. But if you're telling me the difference of 5 games being on the home, I mean, it should never be where playing at home hurts you, Coach, right? I mean, that's not that shouldn't be what baseball's about.
I agree with you, man, especially when you set up a conference, non-conference schedule like we did. And we're playing the American, you know, Conference champion tonight, and also UConn, who's in the discussion of possibly hosting a regional. You know, more than likely going to end up being a 2-seed unless they finish out strong here in the last week and a half. But we're talking about 6 games we had at home in the American Conference, who's number 3 in the country from a conference RPI standpoint. You figure that would have a little bit more validity and give the value of your RPI a little bit higher ranking. But it doesn't. And again, you're penalized for playing at home and really need to go on the road and have a balance of it, unless you absolutely dominate your schedule, which we did not do. You know, we had some bad losses as well. We had some quality wins. We had some bad losses. Those were always back to haunt you. And you think this is the 3 or 4 games, this would have been different. This would have been different. This is actually one of those years. I don't feel like it's been a ton different. It would be a little bit higher, but still would be an at-large discussion. But in the same breath, I say that, where we played such good baseball here down the stretch, and obviously having Houston these 2 games this weekend, we have a chance to put ourselves in a really good position. We're a team you don't want to see in the postseason. Whether it's conference tournament, we win the conference tournament, we go to regionals. This is a club that's very similar to our 15 team that if we get in regionals, man, the depth of our staff and our offense going to go like it is right now, it's a scary, scary postseason club.
Speak with Matt Reiser, head coach of the Lions, and that's what I was going to say here, Coach, is that kind of where it's at? I mean, you and I can discuss it, and obviously the players will leave it to people like us to do the politics or even to try to understand. But at the end of the day, when you take to the diamond, there's one thing you can control, and that's go play good baseball and win. And if you keep winning, things will happen. If you win the tournament, you're in. It's that simple.
It is, and that's exactly been our message, you know, basically since our little lull we had there in the middle of the season. Hey, man, as far as that large stuff, all the, you know, the metrics, hey, it's out. It's done with. But the good thing about it is now we have to focus on one thing. Hey, let's play our best baseball here at the end because that's what we need to do to go in the conference tournament, to win that conference tournament. We need to make sure that we get the pieces right, whether it's coming out of the bullpen or whether it's defensively or whether it's offensively. Let's get this thing going the right direction because we know our capability. And honestly, we've shown that in many games, 35 wins for the 10th year in a row is a pretty substantial number and something to be proud of as well. And, you know, so we know we're confident in what we are and who we are as a club. And if we can obviously go win that tournament, we put ourselves in a really good position. But that's been kind of the mindset. Hey, man, every weekend's going to be your back against the wall. Get ready to fight. Get ready. And it's going to be a slugfest, man. You're going to punch back and forth. And sometimes it's me having a counter with runs. Sometimes we have to counter with zeros on the board, man. Whether they got a good arm and we got a good arm to bump, or it's going to be a 1-0 game, or it was like it was with South Alabama tonight, and we win 12-9. You're going to have the different ways that you're going to have to win the ball games. But at the end of the day, this club has been back in the corner for a couple weeks and really for over a month now, and they've done a really good job responding to that. So when they have to play for their life and have to play for tomorrow, you know, or go home, then I like our chance where we're at with it.
All right, let's wrap up with, of course, the two games against the Houston Cougars, ranked 20th in the country. You mentioned pretty good over there in the AAC. What can we expect with these two games? What are you going to see?
Yeah, you know, both teams, they're in a little bit different situation because obviously they've got the at-large conversation. Winning the American Conference gives them a lot of validity when it's postseason talk time. And, obviously, you've got a top 25 program coming into our ballpark. It's a club that can really pitch, man. If you just go look through their numbers and what they've got, their base of their staff, the guy who's put their best numbers has had a really nice season. The guy who's been the ace of the staff the last 2 years, he's going to start tonight, the Cumbie kid, he's done a really good job. Has had an outstanding career. I was actually looking at his numbers just a little while ago. Over his career, he's got over 20 wins, and he's pitching a 2.42 ERA in 3 years of being in that program. So you're talking about a club with a lot of experience on the mound, guys that really know how to pitch and play defense. And offensively, it's a similar style of baseball that we play. You know, they don't have a whole lot of bangers in the lineup. They'll have their two or three guys, but they're going to do a really good job of creating runs. They're going to run the base pass. I think they've got 77 or 78 bags for the team, and a team that's just really going to try to wreak havoc and force you to make mistakes, obviously, to create the runs. So, I feel like it's going to be a very well-matched up weekend. Obviously, both of us have conference next week. So with it being non-conference play, I'm sure we'll try to get that one or two other pieces in there to see them in the moment. You know, because every year when you go make a run in postseason play, mm-hmm. one guy emerged at the end of the season that hasn't done it all year, whether it's an arm or whether it's a bat. Somebody comes up to help you win those big games and continue to win championships. So I would imagine with some of that will be inquired in this. You know, they haven't announced the starter for tomorrow, but for tonight, I think it's pretty much, hey, man, let's lock horns and let's do our deal with our best guys. And then tomorrow, you know, we'll put the pieces together to figure out the last game of the year to get ready for the tournament.
Well, good luck to you, Coach. Appreciate your time on a game day, but wanted to kind of tell the story of the Lions this year and where it's at. I mean, it's a pretty good conference. Obviously, we know that we're speaking with a lot of teams that are in the Southland Conference, and let's see. Good luck to you.
I really appreciate you having us on.
For sure, Matt. Thank you. @Lions_baseball is the way to follow them over on Twitter. Quick break. We come back. We'll talk a little NBA. Bottom of the hour. Manny Pappas. We'll talk about UNO. It's been an interesting season for Blake Dean and the Privateers as well. I don't know about the expectation levels or anything, but they're playing a little bit better baseball as well. And the reason you bring it up is because you wonder if they're going to have a say or a play as to who wins that Southland Conference tournament. 145, Brian Johnson and the Colonels. Who better to kind of recap the entire conference and see what the Colonels will be doing here as the season comes to a close. this weekend. 205 Joe Christofek, horse racing analyst, Churchill Downs. The second jewel of the Triple Crown is Saturday to Preakness. We'll preview that with him. And at 2:30, Kenny Farrell, the Jesters segment, a little soccer, little football talk coming up at 2:30. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. So we had Jake Madison on at Locked On Bills yesterday to talk about the unfollowing of Boogie Cousins of the Bills on Instagram. But he mentioned, you know, well, it's maybe he sees it as leverage. And we both kind of laughed. I don't know how that gives you leverage, right? I mean, it's funny in speaking with people yesterday, even this morning, that follow the Bills, love it. It's crazy how it is a topic. You know, it's like, well, what is he doing? Why is he doing that? And a lot of Pels fans feel you bring him back. And we asked a question yesterday, Jordan, if you remember, which was, do you bring him back at all cost or do you bring him back at the right cost? And what it was, some responses off of that yesterday.
Scott LaPorte, right cost or move on.
Mm-hmm.
The West Bank, who that depends on what you want to build around him, Nico, Rondo, or someone else. But you need him, and with him, the Warriors series would have been different. Not saying a win, but it would have been a lot closer for sure. And then we have Brandon Thibodeau, right cost, or it's see a time, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie G, bring him back at whatever the cost. Brandon on Twitter, not at all costs, but bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kenny Yambra, at all costs, not sure if the Pelicans have much option or money to do otherwise.
And that's something that we discussed yesterday, just to kind of the darned if you do, darned if you don't sort of situation about this, is that, you know, if you don't sign him, it's like you have a bunch of cash to be able to go use and go try to get another all-star player. At the same time, it's probably the right basketball move to do it at the right cost. And I think that's probably part of the issue. I mean, Jake agreed with me that, you know, it seems awfully strange to just out of thin air, weeks after being photographed with the owner, right? Arm in arm. There's Gail. There's Boogie. All smiles after game four in the Smoothie King Center when they eliminated and swept the Portland Trailblazers. I mean, George never smiled that big next to me, ever. Both of them just all smiles. Just cheese. And then you don't see them in the Golden State series. I mean, I'm just thinking in this aspect too, in this day and age where we like to be seen, you know, check out my threads. I mean, look at the suit I'm wearing or, you know, what have you. I mean, wouldn't you want to be involved in the Golden State series somehow, some way? I mean, the crowd at Oracle, you think you kind of help that team there, or at least make your way back here for game three and four after your team's lost two. And, you know, and again, I just go to the amount of times visibly that I thought Anthony Davis was making an effort to not only include DeMarcus Cousins, but to make him feel he was part of the leadership. I mentioned it that night when they clinched against the Clippers. You know, the video taken and posted from the Pels on their website and on their Twitter account, the behind the scenes, right? The locker room footage of them walking in the locker room off the court. Boogie was the first one. You remember? He was dancing. He was shimmying. He was just dancing. It was music in the locker room. Then AD came in. And then it's Alvin Gentry gives a speech. He goes, hey, we're not done yet. You know, congrats on the postseason. We have bigger goals. And then, you know, they break down the team huddle. They all put their hands in the middle. And he's looking at AD, Coach Gentry. Then AD looks left and says, DeMarcus, do it. He wanted DeMarcus Cousins to break the huddle. Same thing happened after the Blazers series. And that's why I just whole, you know, question this whole love is loyalty and does it follow? Does it mean anything to do? I just, you know, again, this is all speculative, but it's not like he's not helping that. I mean, he is in the response by saying, I'm grown, which Brian Ola East has informed us means I can do what I want and I don't care what you think. I mean, George just used the word childish. My thing about it is this. There is no question 26-12 is welcomed on any team. Right? I mean, when you can walk onto the court and you're double-double like that, yes, of course he won him back. That guy. The injury is an issue. Whether he wants to understand that or not, it's an issue. The other thing is the mental aspect of it. Yes, there are documented instances across all sports in which teams, coaches have dealt with players that are difficult. And when I mean difficult, I don't mean purposely difficult. Just they're harder to deal with than an average player. I wouldn't say normal because everyone's different, but an average player. Some players are more emotional. Some players are quiet, more cerebral, not cerebral. They like to play, you know, I was listening to Stu Gott's show with Dan Le Batard. They're the other way around, right? See what I just did there was a pun, Jordan, because it's basically a Stu Gott show. But anyway, you know, they had, you know, a player on there that did the perfect game and, you know, was drunk the day he did it. It's just crazy. It's like you think, you know, there's partiers, there's ones that take it seriously, there's ones that don't. So that's why I'm not saying normal, just saying your average player. Everyone has to deal with something about it. But if it gets to the point where, I don't know, am I wrong? It just feels like at times you're babying. Like we're worried about the Marcus's feelings. How is he going to affect this? And it's not just him. I'm not just picking on him. Like, are we going to upset AD if we don't bring him back? It's like, I heard it earlier. Again, I'm just kind of bringing back, and I love whether it's the grocery store, whether it's the gym, or whether it's a group of friends that are discussing it across the street, the guy drinking beer, and he's like, yo, what are we doing with Boogie, you know, for my house? It's just because people are asking and people are interested. And that's one of the reasons I bring this up. More so than ever, there are walking general managers everywhere right now in New Orleans. Which I think is a great thing for the organization because people care. But yeah, people, I would say overwhelmingly 80-90%, a word that I hear often is, you know, act like a grown up, you know, what, you know, act like a man, not a child. You know, who does that? Like who follows, who unfollows, you know, it's like my feelings are hurt. And I'm like, look, I hear you. In athletics, sometimes you have to deal with that with a certain player. And I'm just saying, you just wonder if all of this is, you know, leverage or trying to show love or loyalty or want the attention. You know, it's the same reason some players, and Kevin Durant did it. He took meetings, right? I mean, pretty much everybody said he's going to Golden State. He still took meetings with teams. Every year in NBA free agency, we will see a player or two, Dwight Howard, another one, right? He loves the attention. He loves the dinners. Take me out. These are multi-million dollar players. They love the attention. They want to feel the love. They want to feel teams want them. Fan bases. Come over here, Boogie. Is that a motive? I don't know. But if it is, then you have to start questioning, man, are you kind of worth the deal and the trouble on it? And you just kind of wonder where that is. I mean, if it gets to the point where you're babying a player and you're hoping that he's happy, or you have to walk on eggshells and certain things have to go a certain way. I felt that sometimes at times watching them this season, but at the same time, I've also said one of the things that I think that's helped Alvin Gentry is he's come across as a no BS coach, right? I mean, he sat down Rondo. He sat down Boogie at times since they've been here. And it works. I think you have to do it with the fine line. You know, I was told by somebody in the organization with DeMarcus, he's a straightforward guy. You have to be straight with him, though. And at times, he may not like what he hears, but if you tell it to him straight, and if he understands it, then he'll do it. I was told that last year, that, you know, he's a guy where if you tell him, okay, this is why we're going to do something. And if he goes, well, why am I going to do it this way? But if you can explain it to him, he'll do it. And again, that's not saying that's a bad thing or not. Every single player has nuances and things that you have to learn from and how to deal and do. That's why I always said a professional coach is a lot different than a college coach, in which you can control whether that person plays or not and that person's future. In the pros, especially in the NBA, your future depends on how they like you and if they listen and if they buy in, right? You could see it with the Pels when they bought in and they listened to Gentry. And because Alvin's been saying the same thing all year. Pass the ball, play defense, and we'll win. Most of the season early on, they didn't do it. They didn't win. We're ready to fire Alvin. And I'm like, look, how much of that is, because I said if you're going to fire him, it's because the message is not being received. I don't think the guy can't draw an X and O, don't understand, you know, game planning, things of that nature. People have to buy in the pros and in the NBA. So I don't know. It's just interesting. Like I said, I'm telling you in the last 24, 36 hours since this happened, I mean, it is, people are wondering, what's the issue? What's the deal? Why would you do that? And the only reason I bring this up is because during the break there, Scott Kushner tweeted, you know, about 30 minutes ago, you know, can anyone explain to me how unfollowing something on Instagram can provide leverage in a contract negotiation? I chuckled because that's one of the things Jake and I talked about. And Jake was tweeting two nights ago. It's like, oh no, am I going to have to talk about this, the unfollowing? And Jordan, what did we do yesterday? We had him on the show to talk about it. And what did Fletcher do? He had him on yesterday to talk to him on Channel 6. It is. It's just, it's crazy. We have to. But look, it boils down to this. It's a central part of this team's future or non-future, where they go with it. That's why, to me, I think you bring him back at the right cost. And then look, all of this is forgiven. Not even forgiven. He didn't do anything wrong. I mean, unfollowing somebody doesn't mean you hate the organization or hate the team, right? But it's like I said yesterday, I used the analogy of a political campaign. We'll see it here in the near future. I wouldn't think, what is it this year? Joey, you're the political guy. In midterms this November?
Mm-hmm, sure,
yeah,
is.
Exactly. Yeah, it's coming.
Just, not following them, yeah, on Instagram.
It's coming. Be prepared. Believe me, we just went through in Jefferson Parish over here a sheriff election where the signs were out for like 12 months. You know, the election was like March, and I remember signs being out in Halloween. I mean, it just, you know, well before that. So it's coming. Believe me, it's you. So many people are going to care in the coming weeks and months, Joey, right? They're going to care about your retirement. They're going to care about your schools. All day, man, your money. Oh, they're all for you. I mean, there's going to be a lot of caring coming in the near future.
Election.
Exactly. And what are you going to see during all that caring? Those videos of shaking hands, the video of, you know, you're somewhere at a workplace with the hard hat and they're just shaking their head. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, all of that, right? It's the same thing what you saw with DeMarcus Cousins the last 2 weeks. Him shooting free throws, him on an elliptical, you know, his slogan that he created himself. Zero doubt, which I think is great. That's his number. It's all to show I'm back. I am absolutely coming back, and I'm not taking any prisoners. Don't doubt me. I'm back. I got my own clothing line. Zero doubt. Look at it. Go ahead. Go to Boogie Cousins on Twitter. There it is. He pinned the tweet. He has merchandise he wants you to buy. So it's just funny. It's just funny. We touched on earlier in the hour as we go to break too. Congratulations to Anthony Davis, named a finalist for the MVP award. June 25th, the awards will be announced in a televised show in Los Angeles on TNT. 100 media members were polled. I didn't get that, Jordan. Did I get that email? Did you pass it along to me? Or not? I was not contacted to, what now?
But you were passing it along to me.
No one would pass along anything to you. See, now you're done. There goes your mic for being a smart aleck. James Harden, LeBron James, the other finalist. It's three finalists in everything. He's also been a finalist, named a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year, along with Joel Embiid and Rudy Gobert. So Anthony Davis, the only player, by the way, to be a finalist in two categories. Congrats to him. Gives you an idea where this franchise is going, at least with him at the center of it. There you have it. Let's find out what's up with UNL. Manny Pepas, the play-by-play of the Privateers joins us next as this hour we focus on college baseball. We already spoke with Chris Blair, Matt Reiser, the head coach of the Lions, Bryant Johnson, voice of the Colonels, in two segments. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. Turn it up. Manny Pepis, the voice of the UNO Privateers, joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at EP504. Manny, what's up, man? How are you this afternoon?
Hey, doing well. How about yourself, guys?
Good, man. Privateers overall, when you look at the record, 25-28, 13-14 in Southland Conference play. But playing well as of late, Manny.
Certainly have. A huge midweek victory in their last midweek game of the season against nationally ranked Southern Miss. A game where we jumped ahead 2-0 after the top of the first, and it was a roller coaster. Bottom half, commit three errors, and Southern Miss strings together seven hits, and all of a sudden, a blink of an eye, it's 6-2. But this team really locked in all three facets of the game. Pitching was really good after the first inning. Defensively, there were some big plays, but the hitting was just there. Inning 1-9, continued to put the pressure on every Southern Miss arm, and now entering the final weekend here against Northwestern State, where you could certainly argue that right now UNO is one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in the conference.
That's what I was going to kind of get into, man. I mean, look, obviously the win totals in the season isn't where Coach Dean wanted to be, but we spoke at the beginning of the season with Coach, and we've brought you on throughout the season. It was going to be a difficult year to kind of replace some people that you left or that left, and obviously, you know, injuries kind of hurt it as well. Do you think finishing strong the way you are, maybe being a factor in determining who wins the conference tournament? Hey, at the end of the day, you win the tournament, you can get in. So there's still a goal of that being there. But how big can that sort of go in finishing strong for the Privateers for next year?
Oh, that can certainly go a long way, especially when you look at, you know, like you mentioned, having to replace so much offense off of last year's team. And a couple of guys that you mentioned also that were not available. I mean, John Cable, who was an all-conference catcher last year, hit nearly 350, hasn't been available for us this year. Oren Vaillant misses the first 17 games of the year with a knee injury as well. So those were two big pieces that we had coming back that were anticipated, of course, that were not there for either a good chunk of the season or for the whole season. So for this team to pick it up the way that they've done certainly could be a huge page-turner, not just like you mentioned in the conference tournament, but going forward as well.
You know, we touched on it here in a little bit with Bryant Johnson. He's been all season long talking with us as well about how tough the Southland is. And we talked about it with Coach Reiser at the beginning of this hour. When you take a look at this conference, you've called a lot of these games here, obviously, with UNO and seeing them. Is it a shame that it really is a conference that's probably going to have just one person playing in the postseason?
It is, especially when you consider, and everybody knew, obviously, that Sam Houston State was going to be the preseason favorite. Now, we haven't seen them this year, but obviously a super regional team last season and returning a lot of their pieces from last year, you knew they were going to be most likely the top dog, and they'll officially clinch that with one win this weekend. Southeastern, like you mentioned, Coach Reiser, they've just been a model of consistency year after year. And the fact that, you know, they've been in this position so many times before where it's almost like they've got to at least do very well or maybe even win the conference tournament to even be considered as far as a regional participant. And like you mentioned, it's pretty much a shame that it really has to come to that.
All that being said, when Coach Dean's trying to recruit for the next couple of seasons and including next year, the fact that this conference sort of has that kind of baseball being played and you have a lot of teams in the area, you know, playing pretty well and getting better and trending in the right direction is what I'm getting at. Is Coach finding it a little bit easier to kind of bring some people in?
Not really. Haven't talked to him as much about that. I think so, and I think what else has really helped is the fact that now you're starting to see guys get drafted. Of course, Sean Semple getting drafted last year. Brian Warzek is obviously a draft prospect going into this summer. Oren Vaillant as well, and that's huge for any program, but especially a program like UNO. When you could turn out draft picks consistently year after year, and some guys are going to start to take notice. And like you mentioned, the quality of competition, you are certainly going to get your fill of competition around here. That could better yourself, especially with the schedule that we play, not just in conference, but in non-conference as well. When you play the Southern Misses and we play the LSUs and you play the Tulanes and the Louisiana, you know, Louisiana Lafayette and everybody, South Alabama, all of these guys around here certainly can make you better in the long run.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I was just looking at the D1 projections list before the show and Jackson State, South Alabama, teams that pretty much Southeastern Nichols, you know, a lot of teams have been playing and lost to. They're projected to be in. So those midweek games are going up against teams. You mentioned Southern Miss. They're going to be playing postseason ball. So if your conference is difficult enough, and in the games you're playing on Tuesday and Wednesday are featuring teams that are projected to be playing in regional play already, it's a tough season.
Right. And I can liken it to the career of Brian Worzyk as well. When he came on as a freshman, he got that kind of trial by fire. You know, he was in as our midweek starter, and he was playing those Southern Misses and those South Alabamas and all those guys. And look where it's brought him. With the combination of his hard work and that competition right out of the gate, you know what, that's what's brought him to this point where he's leading the conference in strikeouts, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be drafted at some point. Maybe if I had to project, and I'm certainly no draft analyst by any means, I think he's going to wind up going somewhere in day two. But, you know, that's huge.
Yeah, you know, Manny, I've been long saying midweek games, especially as college baseball kind of is really shifting to where you're not in those power fives. I mean, I was talking with Coach Reiser, 11 of 14 SEC teams are projected to get in, you know, I mean, to take spots. So you have to play really well. I mean, don't you agree to me, midweek starters are to me are going to be just as important to a Friday, Saturday starter here in the future?
It is. I think it's kind of a double-edged sword because when you get to smaller conferences, with such a limited number of bids, the Southland, of course, in our case, we get one to two a year. So really the conference games are what matter the most. But yes, from an individualistic standpoint, certainly those games matter as well as far as the competition. But it's just so hard. You have to play just an insanely tough schedule, to be considered. And you have to do well against that schedule also. So yeah, I think that's the other side of the coin there.
All right, man, let's wrap up with the final series here. You guys are in the tournament right now. Northwestern State, the fourth ranked team right now in conference. You guys are eighth. What can we expect between you guys and the Demons here?
Well, Northwestern State has certainly made a big jump this year as far as the team that has most outperformed expectations, a team that was picked to finish 11th, and now they've cinched their spot in the tournament. Their seed is obviously going to be determined by what happens this weekend. But Coach Bobby Barbier in his second season there, after being an assistant and a pitching coach under Lane Burrows, has just done a phenomenal job, especially with the pitching staff, which has really led this team. They lead the conference in the ERA, and you kind of expected that was the course that under Bobby Barbier coach team was going to take, obviously with his years as an assistant over in Alabama when they made four regionals from 2010 to 2014, and what he's done as a pitching coach and now as a head coach over at Northwestern State. Their arms certainly have led the charge for, so it's going to be an interesting test for our offense going up against this pitching staff and how efficient they've been. But also David Fry, his power numbers have jumped pretty significantly this year. A guy who was really more of a doubles guy throughout his collegiate career has really started to add more power this year. So individually, offensively, it's going to be interesting to see how we match up with not just Fry offensively, but this entire lineup.
6:30 tonight, UNO Northwestern State. As always, appreciate a little bit of your time this afternoon. Manny Pepas, the way to follow him over on Twitter at EP504. Thanks, man.
Not a problem. Have a good day.
Yep, for sure. We'll take a quick break in. Southland Conference Hour continues. I just realized, literally, we have a good chunk. But those are the storylines. These are some of the teams we want to, you know, check in and follow here as well. We had Chris Blair on at 12:30 to talk about LSU. It's just nuts. They've won every SEC series at home, and they've lost every SEC series on the road. They're going to try to win their first SEC road series starting tonight when they take on Auburn. Coming up next hour, Joe Kristofek, the Graf, is going to now join us at 2:15 to talk about Tulane and UCF and what Tulane season has been like for them as they wrap up the regular season, get into conference tournament play. They qualified by winning the Memphis series last weekend. And then head coach Kenny Farrell of your New Orleans Jesters. A little football talk, Jordan. You ready for a little football talk at 2:30? Each and every third. Why are you not excited? You know, something tells me it's not about excitement, Joey. I think Jordan stayed up late yesterday. What was the guy's name in Dodgeball? The color analyst? You know the name? You have his hair right now. And I think it's not because it's styled that way. I think it's because you literally just woke up about a half hour before the show. I'm convinced by that. And I can't blame you. You're out of school. It's the summer. I get it. I wonder who would win in a poll. We might have to put that on the poll.
Sometimes when I talk to you, I feel like we're on ESPN, the Ocho. Yeah, right. Quality of the conversation.
Exactly. Well, hey, look, it's been the Southland Conference Hour here on ESPN New Orleans. We had head coach Matt Reiser at 105. We just spoke with Manny from UNO, play-by-play of the Privateers. And both conversations now leading to you, the difficulty of the schedule and really how many good baseball teams are in the Southland Conference this year. And it's a shame, really, it looks like just one team is going to be going to the postseason.
Yeah, did you ask Manny if you enjoyed all that sweet jambalaya I hooked him up with when UNO came and played us on Tuesday? You didn't. You didn't know about it, but that's called home field advantage. Didn't work out in the game. UNO came back from that 5-2 deficit. Mm-hmm. And it was some crazy comebacks, man. We had a big one on Friday for New Orleans, and then they're down 5-2 after the first inning on Sunday. They come back and win it. So tie-breaking scenarios are unnecessary in our conversation. I hope to be able to relay a few to our audience during the course of this weekend and they come into play. It's nice to still be in the playoff hunt, and hopefully Nichols can win 2 out of 3 or maybe sweep Central Arkansas and be back in Sugarland, Texas. But the last 2 years, this conference has been terrible at 11, 12, and 13 in the league. It's a 13-team league, and you've been looking at teams that have combined to win less than 10 games in those three spots, and that's not happening in the Southland Conference this year. It's made sweeps impossible. You're trying to win 1 or 2 games every week, and here we are with 4 teams battling it out for the last 5 teams, actually 5 teams battling it out for the last 2 seeds.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the reasons I was going this direction with the conversation, is that the midweek games, in order to try to get RPIs, recognitions, you have to play some pretty good teams, and as you know that, Brian, in and around the state are battles. And then when you have the weekends, the way you have them with the teams in the conference, it makes for a difficult baseball season.
And it's a different kind of year for Nichols, where they are still top 10 in the country in double plays turned, and they're fourth in the country in sacrifice bunts. They're second in getting hit by pitches. So they're doing those things that a Coach Thibodeau team has done throughout the entirety of his 8 years. But pitching has taken a step back, and they've struggled to get consistent innings from their starters. They've had 2 big injuries in their bullpen. They lost their 8th and 9th inning guy, and it's depleted the resources necessary to survive these Saturday and Sunday games when you're playing some 4-hour baseball games, and someone pulls their pitcher after 1 out on Sunday, but their bullpen went 8 2/3. Their relievers won all 3 games this weekend against Nichols. Colonel starters went 7 and 8 innings the first 2 games, but unfortunately it was a series decided by the bullpen, and that's been a big detriment that Nichols has been trying to correct this season. The offense has been unbelievable. Nichols is rewriting their own record books with RBIs, with batting average. They've got a guy in Joey Morales who leads the conference in hits. He's hitting 400 in conference play. Chet Niehaus is going to break a bunch of on-base percentage records. So you've got some great storylines, but unfortunately it hasn't all come together like Nichols would have hoped it would.
Mm-hmm. Is it one of those things, too, though, that can kind of – I was just asking Manny, too. Could just bode well for the future and for next year to finish strong, play well, and also, hey, at the end of the day, you know if you win the tournament, you can keep going. At the very least, you can affect maybe how the tournament goes if you continue to maybe win a few games.
You have your core position solidified. You know that Ethan Valdez will probably move over to shortstop, that Zane Washington can play center field. You've got guys who have been a part of an offensive resurrection this season and should enter 2019 as the leaders of your team. And you hope that this is the weekend where Nichols gets to come up with a tiebreaker scenario that favors them. I'm sick and tired of 3-4-way tiebreakers not going the Colonel's way. We've seen it in basketball and baseball, and it's an absolute guessing game how these things work. But if you end up in a 4-way tie this year for 7-8 plate, Nichols would actually win that tiebreaker. They would be able to leapfrog a couple teams. And after what happened in New Orleans 3 years ago, where Nichols swept New Orleans, finished tied with them in the conference standings, but lost a 3-way tiebreaker, maybe this is the year where the pendulum swings in the other direction.
All right, let's wrap up with obviously the series here to wind up the regular season here, Central Arkansas. Look, it's a team that I've noticed, and when you follow a lot of the teams in the Southland Conference, a lot of the local guys have been playing them back on the last couple of weekends. It's a pretty good team, huh?
They are the most complete team in the conference. They've got nine guys that are hitting basically between 275 and 339. They love doubles. They hit a lot of them.
Wow.
They are a mortal enemy after what happened in Conway last year. It's a great school filled with great people, but we had quite the trip up to Central Arkansas last year. Nichols won game one, then they lost the doubleheader. They kind of came in a side series of itself. We had an off day and then had to play a doubleheader. And Central Arkansas won both games by a run. That put them in the playoffs, and Nichols finished just short of the conference playoffs. And Central Arkansas returns everybody, and they've got a guy pitching tonight in Tyler Gray that is top 10 in the country in strikeouts. He's got 106 and a little over 70 innings. So he and Brian Warzak from New Orleans, they have just been coming up with Ks at an unbelievable rate this year. They get on base. They are great defensively. They draw a lot of walks. They are certainly an impressive program, and if they get a win this weekend, it'll be the most conference wins in program history since they became a Division I program in 2006. So a lot on the line for Central Arkansas this weekend.
6 p.m. tonight, 6 p.m. tomorrow, 1 p.m. on Saturday, hosting Central Arkansas. Fried Fish Friday as well, and Strikeout Saturday. Does that mean you're going to go out there and try to strike out some people? What does Strikeout Saturday mean?
You know, I did that once in college. I challenged a softball pitcher. I could hit her, and she struck me out, and I've embarrassed ever since, and I will never do that again. It was regret.
Don't feel embarrassed, because people don't realize with that shorter amount and distance, it's pretty much the equivalent of college, a really good college softball pitcher. It's about 90-mile-an-hour fastball. So,
I've been much respectful ever since then. I'll tell you what, just flashback talking to you, she shamed me.
Mm-hmm. How's the softball team?
41 wins. It was a great year.
See, there you go. I threw that up for you. I wanted you to make sure that you give him a little love.
Say bye to Pepper for me. I feel a bond brewing with Pepper and I. It's good that you got interns. You need all the help you can get.
Right? There you go. Well, my intern doesn't help me at all.
By the time someone says it,
you know what? You're done. As we let you go, Bryant, I got to ask you your favorite character on Dodgeball. Who is it?
I'm more of a Brockmire guy, to be real with you. Like, so if we can just pivot into all Brockmire conversations, that's the story I want. Lance Armstrong. Lance needs a redemption tour. That's my guy.
You're going to go with the cameo from Lance Armstrong. I love Brockmire's fantastic, by the way. I can't go 5 minutes without going, oh, my. Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's not even laughing. It's like, whoa, it's good.
Your whole code, not Brockmire soundbites, my man. He's in New Orleans this year. You got to represent for him.
You know what? Maybe we'll get Jordan the intern to try to get him on the show. There you go, Jordan the intern. Try to do that.
I've contributed.
Wow. You see that? He just stared at me and goes, what? He has no idea what I'm talking about. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the series.
See ya. Bye.
There he goes. Brockmire. Do you even know what I'm talking about? The TV show, Brockmire?
Brockmire.
Oh, my God. You know.
Who's she?
There's a thing called Google. Feel free to type in Brockmire.
Google.
It's being filmed in New Orleans.
I'm just an intern. I don't know how to use Google.
Yeah. Wow. This is what I have to deal with right now. This is what I have to deal with. Joe Christofek is going to lead off next hour. The Graph 215. So we'll continue to talk a little college baseball. Again, the regular season wrapping up with the next 3 days as the series ends. And Coach Kenny Farrell at 2:30. We've also been touching, of course, on the NBA and just how much fun we've had, how it's being covered, right? LeBron, where is he going? I mean, seriously, this is what they're focusing on. Well, you have to. You got 3 days off before the next Eastern Conference Finals, Game 3. I love it. They asked Chris Paul, is it a must-win, Game 3? Apparently, you can win the series if you're Golden State. They shouldn't have lost yesterday, right? I mean, it was over after Game 1's win. Ramona Shelbourne, we played the bite earlier. She says, Steph Curry, something's wrong with Steph Curry. Is that right? Then the guy from the Athletic, Mark Thompson, he comes on and goes, no, he's fine. He's good. There's nothing wrong with him. I don't know what to believe, honestly. Screaming, hey, the Warriors, you can't have Clay shooting this. I mean, it's just, it's funny. Really, honestly, is Stu Gotts questioning LeBron's effort. We'll replay some of those bites here coming up as well. So the Preakness justify one of eight horses. We'll talk with Joe next. What does he see in the second jewel of the Triple Crown? So we'll touch on that and more. And Plus, again, if you missed it yesterday, AD named a finalist for the MVP award, joining LeBron James and James Harden, also a finalist for the Defensive Player of the Year award, Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert, and Anthony Davis. Pretty good names in all of those as well. Hour three of the Sports Hangover is up next. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. The beauty, the splendor, the wonder of my head.